I can see you better with my glasses off. From a distance. On the first Sunday, November, which is November 7th, I believe the evening is primarily dedicated to missions. We have some special guest speakers. Anyway, in addition to that, our Big Tree Brass unit has been invited to join you that evening, and we are allotted the first half hour. So we trust to get you all stirred up for missions. We're looking forward to spending the evening with you. Then also, in keeping with our study for the evening, I brought two pieces of literature with me. If someone referred to me as the track man, play on words, I suppose I am. But as far as being a track man, T-R-A-C-K, I've sort of lost that. My mind says one thing, the body says something else. And I placed these two pieces of literature down in the front pew. And I trust that some of you will be very forward after the study hour and come up and help yourself. Not because it's free, but because you're going to read it or them, and invest it, or them. The first one is a chick tract. Basically, the content is very well presented. Answer to spousal abuse. And I didn't bring this because I thought that some of you were engaged in this, but you may know of someone, neighbor, friend, family, either side of the coin, that is involved in spousal abuse. It's not always physical, you know. So I have some of these down there. Then I ordered 100 of these. They came in two separate shipments. And John Stormer, the author of None Dare Call It Education, is also the author of a book written by him, None Dare Call It Treason, The Death of a Nation, and Growing Up God's Way. And this one primarily deals with what's happening in our schools. And it's not leaving out the Christian school or parochial schools. The documented account of how the educational reforms, in quotes, are undermining academics and traditional values. You'll find it challenging, enlightening, and it may arouse your dander. Notice I didn't say dandruff. You need to read it. And then after you've read it, unless you want it for additional reference, plant it. That doesn't mean put it in the garbage can. But place it in the hands of someone else to read. I took half dozen of these today over to the West Seneca Christian School, and I planted them in the hands of the school principal. And the Lord's timing was great because I recommended that each board member read it, and they had a board meeting tonight at 4 o'clock. I was there before 4 o'clock. So it worked out very well. And then an extra copy to be circulated among the faculty and the teachers. I suppose you think that I would be picking on you. if I ask the question, so it's rhetorical, it doesn't demand an answer. Do you really know how to read? I can't answer that for you. I had a poster that I used in reading class at school, public school, which stated, "Show me a man who will read, and I'll show you a man who will succeed." Now, pray tell, I did not leave the women out of that. And I thought this evening we'd spend a little time in the history book of the New Testament. Not the entire book, but part of a chapter. And this history book, of course, everyone, if you've turned to it already, you know which book it is. Yeah, you think I believe that? I'd like to. Probably you're right. But this book sets forth documentary account of the birth of the church, that is the New Testament church. And also sets forth the fulfillment of prophecy and the coming of the Holy Spirit dwelling within the disciples and then mankind. Whereas in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit dwelt round about and tabernacles made with hands. But the body of flesh, the tabernacle not made with hands, was indwelled in the New Testament. And there is much help to be gained. Now, when we think of this book, which I'll name now, the book of Acts, sometimes we fail to think of just the simplicity of the scriptures. Instead of getting wound up in, oh, I like depth, you know, depth. Give me depth. And some of us get so far off in depth we almost drown. But what kid is there not, or an adult who puts on an act? Or who sometime or other has not acted out something? Or we have curtailed our actions? Now, the book of Acts simply means the book of Acts. Doings. Movements. Participation. And primarily it deals with the acts of the Holy Spirit in the acts of the apostles and disciples and the acts of the believers. The early New Testament church was an active, no pun intended, body of believers. And much was accomplished. And we're going to look at one man's experience with another man, eyeball to eyeball. And they became involved in understanding what they were reading. And we're absorbed today with all the thoughts and intents and everything done for us on the boob tube. Very few people read. In order to be a good reader, we have to read. It's the practice of reading that makes a good reader. Also develops vocabulary. Also develops understanding. And we come face to face with that in our lesson this evening. Turn with me to the book of Acts. That is accomplishments. And chapter number 8. Notice we're not racing along at high speed. And if we run out of time, why, we'll run out of time. But we'll accomplish well what we're set to do. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 25. Now, as far as note-taking, which some of you do, you're not going to be able to do any of it until I finish this off, because then I will give you some characteristics that involve what we're going to look at, because what we're going to do this evening, you see, I don't have an outline. Ha ha. We're going to do what is called in the study of preaching and teaching, exposition, lifting out of the text, making plain or making known. So, let's go. 25. And they, referring to Peter and John primarily, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord. You would be surprised the number of people on whom the Holy Spirit has begun his office work and an unsaved heart that's been challenged by the testimony of another believer, either directly or indirectly, which led to his or her salvation. It does not always come from the pulpit. A majority of those who are saved come by way of a tract, a printed page, or personal witnessing or testimony. We get fed or instructed in the Word of God from the pulpit. And I like to refer to the local congregation, the body of believers, sitting in a maternity ward tonight. Yeah, you, every one of you, male and female, maternity ward. And that when we leave here, we leave as individuals expecting or expecting individuals. What are we going to expect? The Lord, through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to reach out and add to the church daily such as would be saved. These two, Peter and John, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And remember Acts 1:8, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth, or the then known world. And the Samaritans were often regarded as barbarians or foreigners, those that were not of kindred social spirit. They were antagonists of anything that was Christian. Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Now here we're naming names. Spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert, an uninhabited area. Desert, not necessarily sand and palm trees. Verse 27, and Philip arose and went. That's important, isn't it? The Lord spoke to him, and he went. My God, and those of you who believe, your God is one of action and not pretense. Like the individual, the two sons, one of the two sons of the grape farmer. Yeah, Dad, I will. I'll work in the field today. And he never did it. He He arose and went, verse 27, and behold, or standing amazed, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. See, there was a church conference up at Jerusalem, and they came from many areas into Jerusalem to the seminars and the teaching and the preaching to be updated on the knowledge of the Word and what was happening in their own individual communities. Verse 28, was returning and sitting in his Cadillac, chariot. Whatever the chariot was, we don't know. Read Isaiah the prophet. Now, whether this chariot was pulled by one horse, span of horses, or double span of horses, we do not know how mean or elaborate it was. One day, the preacher pulled up in front of the farmhouse in the rural area. And the kid was on the front porch. And the preacher's wagon, or sulky, was being pulled by two horses that day. And without thinking, blurted out, calling his mother, "Hey, Mom, here's the preacher. I thought you said he was a one-horse preacher." You figure it out. He was sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Now notice how the effectiveness here of the person of the Holy Spirit, verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." It doesn't mean that they were going to, that he was going to be fused to it, but he was to locate it, identify it, and then go, the Lord had a plan for him. Great things were to happen that day. Verse 30. And Philip ran thither to him. When the Lord calls you or speaks to you or motivates you, something else, and or me, do it immediately. Do not procrastinate. Do not put it off. One of Charlie Goodyear's favorite choruses, "This is the day the Lord hath made." Today. Philip ran, and he heard him, the Ethiopian, read the prophet Isaiah. And then he asked a question. I'm going to paraphrase it. Do you understand what you're reading? Most everyone can read, but not most everyone can read with comprehension, understanding. We have to go back over it again, back over it again. Some people read by moving his or her lips while reading. Some use the finger to go to word, to word, to word. Some can scan read. And then some are blessed with a photographic memory. Look at a page, two or three sentences, and get the gist of the whole thing. But you see, when you and I are reading the eternal book, whether it's this book of history or whether it's another book of the New or Old Testament, we have the Holy Spirit who is our guide and our teacher, and he will, and I'll show you eventually, give us understanding. Do you understand what you're reading? Verse 31. And the Ethiopian said, how can I, except some man should guide me? Now here's a clue and a key for us. He didn't say, how can I, unless someone interpret this for me. See, none of us here this evening are interpreters of the Scriptures. It is the Holy Spirit who is the interpreter of the Scriptures. But the Ethiopian expected to have Philip give him the sense of what he was reading, to help his understanding, to encourage his mental outreach. Latter part of verse 31. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now we've completed what was stated early on. Join yourself to the chariot. When Philip was invited in to sit down, he sat beside the Ethiopian. They didn't actually become a part of the chariot, but they sat in the chariot. Verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And verse 34, the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, or I ask of you, we don't use the word pray tell or whatever, I ask thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Who is Isaiah talking about? Of himself or some other man? Now you and I may not consider that to be problematic, but it was for the Ethiopian, so we can't go beyond that. Verse 35, and with that question, notice Philip didn't say to the Ethiopian, man, how dumb can you get? Why ask me a simple question like that? There is no question too simple. None whatsoever. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth. See, he started out what? By listening. Before he put his brain in gear, before he operated his mouth. And began at the same scripture that the Ethiopian was reading, and with other references, preached unto him Jesus. He didn't say, you have to become any denominational relationship. You name it, you can have it. He preached unto him Jesus, and that's our message today. You know that. Verse 36. And as they went on their way, and this was probably quite a ride, sitting in this chariot, riding along, talking about spiritual things, there's nothing like it. Absolutely nothing like it. How many times do you get a telephone call from a friend or a Christian brother or sister and they want to talk about the Lord over the telephone? If you're not experiencing that, you're shortchanged. As well as another individual leading a soul to the Lord, and he's so exuberant about it, he has to call up and tell and relive the whole thing over again. Verse 36, and as they went on their way, riding along, they came unto a certain water. Another translation says, a body of water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip knew better than to get entangled in the mode of baptism or its necessity for or against being a part of salvation, but rather obedience. And evidently Philip had pointed out to the Ethiopian that to make one's profession of faith complete and the witness and testimony of obedience unto the Lord, believe and be baptized. That's the New Testament message. And of course, repentance is included in that. And I like Philip's pointed, pungent question, verse 37. And Philip said, "If you believe," now we could also translate that, "since thou believe with all thine heart," but here it's the condition to the eunuch, "if you believe with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized." I added some in there. And the Ethiopian answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now, how much more pointed can we get? Complete. And Philip didn't say, "Well, then, that's okay. Step number one. What's step number two? Step number three? Step number four? Forget it. Let the Lord do His work in the heart of the believer. You and I cannot do the Lord's work. I've never done the Lord's work. I've been engaged in His working through me. I don't work for Him. He works through me." Verse 38. And the eunuch commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down, both the Ethiopian and Philip, into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and Philip baptized the eunuch. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. Sort of a sad ending, isn't it? Nah, wait a minute, I gotta finish this verse. And he went on his way rejoicing. Task accomplished through the obedience of one man. Now, if you have your paper and pencil or pen or whatever you want, I'm going to point out for you this evening what we learn about this hitchhiking evangelist, Philip. I'm going to list and call attention to 7 primary characteristics of Philip the person. Number 1. First of all, Philip matriculated. No, don't choke on that one. M-A-T-R-I-C-U-L-A-T-E-D, matriculated. Means he signed up at a church conference or Bible conference or seminar. He joined in the studies. That's the first thing. Number 2. Philip listened, first of all, to the angel of the Lord, and then to the Spirit. And he wouldn't have been able to hear had he been wearing headphones or tuned in to some of the so-called music of the present age. But he was in tune. He was meditating on those things which he had heard at the conference. But more than that, he was tuned into the voice of the Holy Spirit, who in the history of the church hadn't been with them that long. It was still the first century. Number 3, Philip obeyed. He was obedient. He gave an immediate response to the voice of the Holy Spirit. He ran. And we as Christians sometimes, "Lord, you know, Man, I can't do that today. I'm too tired. I don't feel well. And anyway, I haven't eaten yet. And whatever excuse we want to give. But do it now. That telephone call, that card, that letter, that visitation, that mailing. Do it now. Number four, Philip was a witness. He witnessed one man to another man. And I've used the phrase before, use it again, eyeball to eyeball, heart to heart. Number five, fifth characteristic, Philip taught. You open up the printed page. Now, I don't know whether it was a parchment, whether it was a scroll. I do not know what it was. It wasn't the book of Isaiah as you and I know it now, even though the scripture that we read was part and parcel of Isaiah 53. Number six, Philip knew and was involved in the baptism of the eunuch. Into the water they went. And if you don't want to think in your own heart and mind that this was immersion, that's up to you. I won't tangle with you on it. But as Dean Fowler, Bible school, used to say, it's thinkable. It's thinkable. And the last one, I'm 1 minute past. When Philip disappeared and the Holy Spirit took him away, what was Philip's condition? He did it all over again. And over and over and over. He repeated the message. In other words, he practiced the faith. And he went on witnessing. Let's pray together. Lord, we're so grateful unto you that you have given us clarity of thought and understanding, the ability to read and the ability to think, the ability to understand and to reach out for the cause of Christ. Go with us as we separate ourselves from this building and from one another. May each of us practice similar faith to that which Philip practiced. May we continue to witness and to speak out for Christ, placed in the hands of unbelievers the printed page, encourage other believers. Dismiss us now with thy blessing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Literature down front, last reminder. First come, first served.